Welcome to the Unknown Podcast, where we discuss all the people, places, events, happenings in the world that are unknown and not really written about or spoken about, but we feel that perhaps they should be. I'm Jo Stanley, and joining me is the lovely Trey Dallas. Good morning.
Good morning, Jo. Hello.
I'm so happy to have you here because you are unknown because you sort of are the face or the work behind some of the very well-known faces that we know. Mm-hmm. You're a makeup artist and stylist to the stars.
Thank you. I like to be unknown. I like to be, it's all about my work. I like to be behind my clients, I think.
Yeah, so we would see a lot of your work.
Yes.
It would be very well known, but we wouldn't know that it was you that did it.
No. I like it like that. But unfortunately, with these days, with the whole social media thing, I need to do, people want to see who's behind.
Well, most definitely there's sort of been a movement towards celebrity makeup artists, isn't there?
Yes.
You know, like with Napoleon Perdice and,
correct.
You know, I think Kim Kardashian's makeup artist.
Mm-hmm. There's quite a few of them.
But, there's an army behind them.
She needs all the help she can get.
But, you know, so they do kind of tutorials and that sort of stuff,
correct.
On social media. Yeah. So, and you're kind of moving into that sort of thing.
Well, yes, sort of half and half. On one side, I have to because it's sort of, gone those days where I can rock up and just do my work and get paid for that and that's it.
Mm.
It's more like, okay, Trey, you need to take a photo of this and post it on the social media to get more coverage and things like that.
Okay.
So that has become, yes, that has sort of become part of what I do now as well.
But you're not really into it.
But you can't, yeah. I mean, look, it's progress, I suppose, and you sort of have to go with it.
Mm.
Otherwise, you get left behind.
It's funny to think that even in the world of being a makeup artist, there's competition, you
correct.
Know? Of course.
I'm correct.
Okay, that's why you're here, obviously. Why else would you come and guest bag with me for an hour?
Oh, because I love you. You're beautiful.
Oh, you're very sweet. So I do, just to give you some credibility, I know that you are makeup artist to people like Sylvia Jeffries, Lindy Klim, some of our most beautiful women that we see.
Yeah.
Really
cool women as well. Like really, people don't realize that. People always recognize how beauty they are, which they are, but they're just cool chicks. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I love working with just cool chicks, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
So is that, because I have spent a bit of time, not as much as them, but a bit of time in the makeup chair, and there's most definitely a confidence that you have in your makeup artist. Like you do feel like you're instantly quite intimately connected.
Yes, I am. I'm pretty lucky like that. So I sort of spend a lot of time with my clients, especially who I've worked over the years with.
Mm.
Sort of, you know, like I just become, I don't know, almost like a friend. I'm lucky enough I can call most of them friends as well.
Yeah. And there's not a lot you can pull over the wool of a makeup artist. Like, you know, if I sit in the chair and I'm hungover, they're going to know.
Of course.
If they know I've had a bad night, they know if I've had a, you know, breakout because I'm stressed, whatever.
Yeah.
Can you tell with your clients before they even open their mouths, what state they're in?
Well, definitely, because I think you have to understand, as you would know, the makeup artist may be the last person that you see before you go on air or have to perform. So I'm sort of, I listen, you know, we'll talk about things and sometimes if I have to go to events or, you know, wherever they go, I tend to sort of know what they like. You know, girls always have... one client, I won't say who, loves minties.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
So I make sure I have minties with me because when she sort of just want to off stage or perform, she just wanted to sit and chill. We may not talk because she's constantly talking.
Also, she's got a minty in her mouth.
Correct.
Hard to talk.
Here you go. And she just becomes like, she's just happy. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. Another client loves Sprite
with
one cube of ice. And I always make sure I get that for her.
This is what I love because there's a real sense of kind of that you're a nurturer as a makeup artist.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that one of the things I always find when I love when I sit in a makeup chair is that you can't do anything else. Like, you know, to actually have your makeup done, you have to close your eyes.
Correct.
And it's an opportunity to actually sit and be kind of, I don't know, even the sensation of having the brushes on your face, it's a real gift that you are giving your client.
Yeah.
Does it feel that way for you?
Yeah, I do actually. And I sort of, and I love that. I love that I'm on one-on-one with my clients. And I love how I can change their mood as well.
Mm.
And how, and also not just celebrities as well. I mean, I work with just, you know, just everyday moms, and you know what I mean? And I like that too. I like that I can make her feel amazing. I have a client who only goes out, she's got 4 kids. My God, crazy. But anyway.
Some people actually choose that life.
Can
you believe it?
My sister I've got 3 nieces, so I totally understand. But I see her once a year.
Mm.
And, you know, and she loves that talking with me, bantering, you know, and I love that.
Yeah.
I can tell by my clients. The clients I have are just cool, amazing at what they do, and strong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I love that in a woman, I think. Yeah.
Do you love women?
I do. I love it. I love that type of woman, I must say. I don't like girls that are a bit washy-washy, you know what I mean? Like,
what do you mean by washy-washy?
Like, I don't know. I just don't like fluff. I like,
okay.
I like whatever you do in life, for me, I reckon if you just be passionate about what you do,
mm-hmm.
and if you're strong and just speak out. And you know, like my mum. My mum's like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I want to talk about your mum in a little while because I know that she's had quite an influence on you. But I've got so many questions I want to ask about the beauty industry and your actual craft. Because, you know, makeup artists are artists. They really are. And I am envious of, like, you get to play with all those pretty colours and, you know, and you're actually painting on someone's face. Mm-hmm. And even that you can put a liquid eyeliner on and not make it go right up into her eyebrow, that is extraordinary to me because I can't do that on myself.
You should come to one of my workshop show.
Yeah, I don't think it would help me because I can't even, like, if I was doing colouring in with my 7-year-old, you know, I can't keep in the lines. Mm-hmm. Never have been able to. I don't know. I've got a shaky hand. But so first question I had was, is every face beautiful?
Yes. You can always, for me, I zone into certain areas.
Okay.
Or it's my job to even things out. So for me, I look, it's very simple for me. It's like, you know how I come from a background of painting.
Mm-hmm.
So every face is a canvas.
Okay.
So skin for me is like a canvas. So I like to smooth that all out so it's nice and even. And then I start putting colors and correct things.
So when you say correct things, is that what are you correcting? What do you look at? I must admit, because I knew I was talking to you, I put makeup on because I was quite nervous.
It's radio.
About that. I know, but I the older I get, the more I don't wear makeup. Like you see these celebrities go, here I am exposing myself online without makeup. I'm like, what's the big deal? Like, you almost never see me with makeup these days. But because I was seeing you, I thought I better make an effort.
Thank you.
No, but I didn't want you to be looking at my face going, oh, Jesus, doll.
But
I don't. Look at the red capillaries.
I really don't. I really don't.
You don't walk around life going, oh, God, she needs an eyebrow wax?
No, I really don't. Unless you ask me, then I would. It's it's like a job, you know what I mean? Mm. I love what I do, but when I'm home with my mates having a few beers or shandy or whatever, we don't sit around, you know, critique our eyebrows.
No, okay. So, but when you say...
But thank you for making an effort.
You probably couldn't even tell. But when you say correct something, what is it that you're looking for to correct?
Sure. So I would depend what type of job I'm doing. So if it's like a personality or someone's like, people will tell you what they don't like about themselves, right? So then they say, oh my God, my eyebrow's too thin. Okay, I can fix that, draw it all in, blah, blah, blah. Or contouring and things like that as well. That's what I mean. And sometimes if you look at yourself, certain eye is lower than the other.
Yeah.
So I could move that sort of thing.
You can shift an eye up just with makeup.
Definitely.
Just like that optical illusion.
Correct.
Okay. Because what I'm interested in is this concept that there is a standard of beauty.
Yes.
Because that is a total construct. That's based on somebody...
Mm-hmm.
Probably hundreds of years ago when we first even, the you know, your Renaissance painters, they decided what was beautiful.
Correct.
And then that's been handed down. And eventually now we think someone like Kate Moss is beautiful just because we've been told that.
Yes.
You know, whereas in an alternate universe, perhaps someone with hair all over the face was beautiful.
Yeah.
Which I would hope so because I trust me, I'm losing the battle as far as my hair removal regime is concerned. But, you know, so I'm interested in how you know what would make someone look better.
Well, whatever makes them feel comfortable and what makes, you know, like for me, makeup's makeup. It's for play. If I put like a red lipstick on, of course there's certain things that, you know, people think what red lipstick means to them.
Yes.
Some people would hate wearing red lipstick because they think it's, you know,
the word. Slutty or
yeah,
whatever.
Correct. Yeah, okay. There you go. Mm. Or some girls go, you know what, I look damn hot in this red lipstick. Mm-hmm. And off she goes. So it's a balance. It's not for me to say what's sexy or not. It's how you, when I do it, how it makes you feel. It's a collaboration. That's how I see it anyway.
Yeah, I love this.
Does
okay.
that make sense?
Yeah, no, it totally does. Yeah. And really, at the end of the day, you're beautiful if you feel beautiful.
Yeah.
I have to tell my 7-year-old that.
Correct.
The most beautiful thing you can have is a smile.
Yes.
Really.
Definitely.
So that's I love hearing that. Mm-hmm. I want to also ask you about beauty products.
Yes.
Right, because, and particularly, you have brought me some beautiful skincare products, which I feel that's, you know, you're doing me a favour by being on this podcast. You brought me gifts, which is, you know, I got nothing for you.
That's okay. Your time is more than enough.
Oh, stop it. So when I, because I do spend a lot of money on well, not heaps, but I do, you know, a considerable amount of money on skincare. And to me, I sort of go, beauty industry has done a very good job of freaking women out, particularly women, but men now too, making us feel like, oh my God, we've got to hold back the time. We have to look younger as long as possible. And so the fear has convinced us to spend a lot of money on stuff that could really just be cold cream.
Right.
Like, do you believe in all the ingredients that are in these sorts of products?
Well, I sort of do. I mean, I've been in the business for 20 years now and I love skincare. I mean, as much as I love makeup, I think for me, it's all about the skin. You know, I've always said that. I've sort of tried so many products in that 20 years because, like anything, I don't want to. I do work in this industry of like looking a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So I just try them out. If it works, great. If it doesn't, then.
But how do you know it works?
How it makes me feel. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, but you know, Coca-Cola like makes me feel good. I'm not going to put, like, how do I, but that's full of, you know, chemicals like, and crap.
Well, it's just, you have to sort of research it as well. I mean, we're, now that it's like 2016, there's certain products that when I started, like in early 2000, that wasn't around.
Okay.
Or the ingredients that wasn't around. And also now we're not, there's so many brands out there now as well. So boutique brands rather than the big corporate brands, which I think that's great too. So it's really up to you. I mean, I go and I research certain ingredients and things like that, and I use it on myself.
I read, now this is sort of a celebrity-free zone, but I do have to quote Oprah. Oh, I mean, but Oprah.
Love Oprah.
I know.
It's Oprah. So, yeah, should we take a moment?
I know. Let's take a moment to think about how awesome Oprah is. Because honestly, she's not a celebrity. She's just basically my guru. So
yeah.
She uses a skincare product that she said... Now, I haven't got the quote in front of me, so I may be paraphrasing and maybe being incorrect here. But she said that it has stem cells in it, which they get from foreskins.
Really? Who's foreskin?
I don't know. Like that, it was like a...
I've never heard that before. I heard of stem cells, though.
Yeah.
And of in creams and stuff. I never heard of a foreskin.
Well, I'm sure that's what she said. I'm God, look, you know what? I'm
and do you like it, though, Joe?
What?
Like
the foreskin.
Stem cells of foreskin?
I don't. Oh, look, I'm Googling as we speak.
Be careful what comes up.
Oh, my God, you're so right. I hadn't even thought about that. Okay. Stem cell research foreskin came up, right? Okay.
God.
Okay.
So funny.
All right. The first one came up says it's 4gen.org. The foreskin is not on true danger. Okay, that, I don't know what that's about. Regenerative medical research around stems. I think that's coming from foreskins. Okay.
Right.
Okay. I'm going down. So there's a thing here about circumcised men regrowing their foreskin, which I'm not going to click on.
Oh, don't click on that.
No, I'm not clicking on that one. Then I'm going to here, and it says 3 strange uses for infant foreskins. Who would have thought that's okay. There's an industry of baby foreskins. What is happening here?
Oh.
Cosmetics. Foreskins are used to make high-end skin creams. The skin products contain fibroblasts grown on the foreskin and harvested from it. So, yeah, OneForce can be used for decades to produce fancy face cream like the Skin Medica products hawked by Oprah.
Oh, right. I don't know. Like, whatever works for you. You know what I mean? I like my foreskin to be attached.
Sure. I mean,
I don't know. I like my foreskin.
I don't want to know where my skin cream comes from, I suppose, but you got to be aware.
Totally.
That there's perhaps some questionable practices.
Of course, and I think that's up to you to research things. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But ew. I don't know.
But you might have that in this cream that you've got.
But I don't. You have to look at the ingredients.
It doesn't say foreskin in the ingredients. I think they'd give it some kind of scientific stem cells, like, you know, kind of name. Also, yeah. That's all in French, so I don't really know. Okay, let's stop talking about foreskins. It's making me feel weird. I don't like it at all.
Yes.
Okay, I also like to ask people to come along, my guests, mm-hmm. with an unknown fact about them.
Okay.
Have you brought an unknown thing?
Well, people may not believe this, but I was a monk.
You were a monk.
Yes, I was.
It's actually, I knew that. So, but I love that because other people would not know that about you.
No, I don't really go around. By the way, I'm a makeup artist and also I do moonlight as a monk. I don't really come in the sentences.
It is two worlds that are vastly different, you would think, but perhaps not. Tell me, what kind of monk?
A Buddhist monk.
A Buddhist monk.
Yeah, so I spent time in Ayutthaya, which was the first capital city of Thailand before Bangkok was.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
And how long were you a Buddhist monk?
Oh, it was a while. It was like a couple of months or so, like almost a year.
Okay. Yeah. And when you first told me about it, you told me it was something that you wanted to do for your mum.
Yes.
Was there also, I mean, you must have, did you enjoy it?
Oh, of course. At first two weeks that I was doing, because you have to, you know, you shave the hair, the eyebrows, and just wore the orange robe. That's all you wore. So everyone just conform and look exactly the same, which is really good because I sort of thought about this. It's sort of like, well, if you look the same, then you don't want anything else. Like to be, if I saw somebody else. So with monks, when they talk to you, Joe, like if I was a monk now, I'm meant to look down.
Why?
Because if you don't see,
then you don't covet or envy or
correct.
Lust.
Or you don't want it.
Right.
Does that make
you
sense?
You don't desire.
Correct. Oh. So do you know how we were like, oh, you know, we've got this amazing haircut.
But sure.
We saw that on magazines and things like that. So so it was really good for me to do that, actually. I did do it for my mom because she's Thai and she's Buddhist and blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. I knew she would love that. But then I surprised myself and got a lot more out of it.
Okay, so what does one do when one is a monk? Like, what do you do all day?
My routine, it's same every day.
Mm.
I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yikes.
Yeah, 3 o'clock in the morning, which I do now anyway, but that's, and then we would put on we have different robes. So we have.
What, for special occasions? Or?
Yes, we do.
Really?
Yeah.
So it'd be like a fancy robe and then an everyday robe.
Well, we wouldn't say a fancy robe. It's like a robe when you go out to, like, if you're having a wedding.
Okay.
Someone's having a wedding, the monks would go and do the chant and blah, blah. So we have that different way you knot things and stuff like that. And then we have a robe just like a sarong, just that you wear around your waist. And we go clean the monastery for like an hour. So 4 o'clock, then we all have a shower and we can't remove our robe. Because that robe, that orange robe, is sacred, and you can't be naked. You always have to be covered with that orange robe.
Okay, so how do you shower?
Oh, you
can, you're in Big Brother.
Yeah, this is exactly. I love how I'm telling you this whole spiritual thing, and you're taking it back to like Big Brother.
I'm so mad at that. Like, you know, I'm thinking of the people that I've known who have washed, but also remained clothed. It's not easy, I imagine.
No, it's not. But the funny thing is, you can always tell the new monks. Because all the robes will get wet, you see.
Amateurs.
Yeah, correct. Because you're showering these robes, you know, you're doing the sarong thing, blah, blah, blah. But then as you letting the wet sarong down, then you have to put your bigger robe over your head. Does that make sense?
So, yes.
So one's going down and one's coming on to your body.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And then after you wash, would you meditate?
No, so then what we do, we all get ready and we walk through the village and wear no shoes because you want to like feel the earth because you don't want to kill anything like bugs and things like that because we don't kill things.
Yeah.
And then all the village people would come out and whatever they have, they would donate things to us and that, and we'll go back and that's what we, and then we put the food down and all the kids in the slums who comes and help and prepare the food because we're sort of, we can't prepare the food ourselves.
But why?
Because it's just one of those things that you just.
Monks don't cook.
Well, yeah, because we don't cook or kill things or touch money. So
monks basically live a life of servitude, I suppose, is the concept of monks. For what I'm going from a Judeo-Christian kind of concept.
Yeah.
That monks are, or priests are living a life in servitude of God, right? Or Buddha. Yeah. Yep. But everybody else kind of has to support the monk because they're not allowed to do anything but.
Correct. But they get things in return.
Okay.
So yin and yang, and what goes around comes around, very basic.
Yeah.
So then the kids who have no money, lives in the slums, they always live around the temple because the land's sort of free and they come and play and do whatever
beautiful.
They want. Correct. I like that.
Yeah.
And whatever's given to us, we just eat. Like,
okay.
We can't.
So are you hungry a lot of the time?
But you know, no, Joe, you should just say, do you know what? This should be a boot camp, like, for this. Like, because I look the best I ever did. I look like the best I ever did. Seriously. I thought.
Oh, my God. Get the Buddhist monk's body.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Body by Buddha.
Because we. You eat to survive, but you don't survive to eat.
Okay.
That was one of their thing, which was amazing. And then I used to meditate and then work on the field, like to build the temples and maintenance. So I was physically active, but weren't eating, you know.
You weren't overeating. You
Correct.
Were eating sort of as fuel and.
Yeah.
And I suppose there's a real, I'm obsessed with mindfulness.
Yes.
So I attempt to have a meditation practice, but I find that often quite difficult because I have days where I'm too busy, or if I sit down to meditate when I'm tired, I just fall asleep. So it's kind of defeating the purpose, although sleep is good too.
Definitely.
So what I love about mindfulness is that it takes meditation into sort of your everyday life. So I can mindfully have a walk, or I can mindfully have a shower or whatever, you know. And that's kind of what you're doing there, is that you're living a very, like, life's reduced to living in the moment without sort of any, as you say, there's no desire, there's no ambition. It's just really existing. And that hand to mouth kind of the way you're appreciating food is a very mindful way of appreciating what Buddha has given you, I guess.
Yeah. Yep. It's simple. And
so were you ever bored?
No, because there was always something to do. The first 2 weeks, oh my God, I just want to get out of there. Like, seriously. Just want to get out of it. And you're not allowed to touch females as well. So,
right.
And the reason why I left is I could have stayed there forever, really. But I did miss my mum's hug and my nieces and stuff like that. I know it sounds so cliche, but I really do. Like, you know what I mean?
Of course.
Yeah. But,
and that's where you're really aware of the kind of sacrifice that monks make then.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
They miss that human touch,
yeah.
I guess. And celibacy?
Yeah.
Is that hard?
And you're not allowed to do, you know what, as well.
You're not allowed to self-gratify.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, how would they know, though?
No, because Buddha's everywhere, Jo.
I know!
Buddha's everywhere!
I'm aware that Buddha is everywhere, but, see, this is the kind of faith I have, right, in that. And that's very telling, where I go, in my mind, the equation is, I know that God is everywhere.
Yes.
But he won't care. I'm really just complying with the rules for the people that have made up these rules.
Right.
I don't believe God gives us stuff, whether I have a wank or not.
Yes.
You know, and if the priest's telling me no, then I'm like, I don't care. I'll just go off and do whatever I like. Thanks.
But do you know what? It's good, though. I sort of agree with you like that as well. That's why I didn't become a monk or anything like that when I was younger, you know, because I have such a, my dad's sort of Aussie. We'll go into that later. So, but I suppose when you don't do that, it's about controlling. It's about your mind.
Right.
Mind over matter.
Okay.
Does that make sense? It's sort of like, yeah, it was just really good. That's like, oh, I don't need to do that. I'm actually quite satisfied just being still, reading, eating what I need to eat, and just, I don't know, just, yeah.
I can hear that
yeah?
would be extremely like a nice life.
Yeah.
It'd be very freeing.
It was. It really, really was. And you have to think about the monastery is so beautiful. It's like beautiful, like the wind, the rain, and it was just so quiet. There's no, I mean, if you walk out this studio, you can, all these, as amazing as it is, but there's all these noise and sounds and people just, you know, just, it's good too, but it's just different.
But in a, I can imagine as a living that lifestyle as a monk in a monastery like that, you have to become very comfortable with your own thoughts.
Yes.
You know, which I think people now don't do.
No, because of all the phones.
Yes.
And blah, I do it too now, like, but I just trying to give it a break as well.
It's a real, like, you know, I get really cross because my husband, even like he'll take his phone to the have a shit. And I'm like, come on. It's the opportunity to just sit and be alone in your thoughts and your stink and whatever else you're doing there. Just, you know, let your mind wander.
Mm.
But no one allows themselves to do that now. My daughter, when she's, you know, in the car and she wants to just watch it, like, you know, be on her phone because she's, oh, not her phone, she's seven, on my phone watching a movie or whatever because she can't sit and look out the window. And I'm like, that was my favourite thing as a kid, sitting in the car watching the world go by.
Yep.
And so I'm like, no, no screen.
Yeah.
Look out the window.
That's so good,
Look out the window.
Yeah.
I don't want to look out the window, she says. There's nothing there on board. I'm like, well, you're not seeing the world then.
No,
because there's
not.
So much out there.
Because you're seeing what people giving you to see, like the iPads and things like that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I used to love just looking out and just dream about things, pretending I was a princess or something like that.
Mm, that's
riding a
beautiful.
Unicorn. I think so.
Yeah. She pretends she's a princess too, riding a unicorn. I think that's a standard fantasy. beautiful. Monk talk. I love it. I could do it all day. Do you still meditate now?
Yeah, I try to actually. Probably once a week. Normally a Sunday morning when I'm sort of just that's probably the best time to do it for me anyway.
And what's, is there a special way that Buddhists or Buddhist monks meditate?
Yeah.
Do you do a, like a transcendental kind of chanting or?
Oh, yes. So, well, you learn these things. It's pretty much the same like the Bible thing. You sort of learn, you sit up straight and just close your eyes and everyone's sort of different. How I was taught was just imagine a light. Close your eyes, imagine a light, and just concentrate on that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's a very centering image.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, well, they did say, just imagine Buddha, blah, blah, blah. But now that I'm not a monk or for anybody else who's not a Buddhist, just imagine a light in the center. And normally you sit up straight, cross your legs and stuff. But I think it's probably better if you lie down.
Yeah, well, if you can do that without falling asleep.
Yeah.
I did this wonderful meditation the other day about, it was supposed to sort of expand your creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And what you are visualizing, instead of like a center point or a light, the idea is to imagine a bright, colorful, really energetic sort of space in the center of your brain. And then you want to imagine it move out and fill your whole brain, and then you want to see it move out and fill your whole body, and then move out further and fill the room, and then fill and fill until it's filling that you can see it filling the whole planet.
Amazing.
Oh, it really opens your brain. Oh, my God.
Ooh, I might try that next
time.
Yeah,
give it a go because I've just, it really kind of makes me, I feel like it opens up your mind literally to that creative process of feeling like you can think anything.
Let me try that next
time. Yeah, yeah. Write it down. So, I wanted to ask your thoughts on plastic surgery.
Yes, go.
Well, I read this article about facial recognition technology, which is now, it's sort of at the forefront of science and, you know, they're getting to the point where, you know, obviously we have it at the airport with our passports.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it's, you know, moving it across all industries and it's sort of like the brave new world of ID, essentially. I suppose they imagine in the future that our face is all we need, right? But what that has meant is that accidentally the people that program it are programming biases into the technology because they've found that these programs aren't able necessarily to recognize certain races.
Right.
You know, they've had terrible situations where, like I think it was an African-American man was labeled a monkey. Horrific, terrible. But even like instances where people who are trans, they couldn't recognize it because their face didn't fit this very, well, algorithm
yes.
that was created by a person, yep. but mm-hmm. now is a computer program to say mm-hmm. that is what a face is.
Yes. Right? Yep.
But I worry that because of cosmetic surgery, again, that's based on some kind of standard mm-hmm. of beauty, that our faces are going to become less and less individual.
Right. I feel really strongly about this. I think it's really up to you what you want to do. If you can afford it, you want to do it, go for it, mm-hmm. right? Me personally, never had anything done, like injections or anything
you
like that.
You don't need to, don't.
Oh, thank you so much. Another box of cosmetics coming. But thank you. But I just, but that's probably why I spend more time with skincare and stuff like that. Because I like, but you know, I just, I don't know. I agree with that. I just, and also I want maybe sort of self-absorbed. If I was going to have children one day, I want them to look a bit like me. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Do you know, and I see, sometimes I've seen people, the mothers or themselves, they've had so much work done that they don't even look like their child.
Yeah, right.
Or
that's
their children.
A shame, isn't it?
Do you know what I mean? And they sort of, there's something in that. I love it when people say, oh my God, you've got your mom's lips or your dad's eyes. Or, you know what I mean? I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I think if we keep doing things like that, we're all going to look like crazy cat ladies.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know.
It's
each
a
their
shame.
Own. Each their own. But
also, don't you think it's awesome when you look ugly a bit?
Yeah. I mean, I love scars and things like that. That's your, like, that's what. So unique about everyone. And that's what's so amazing about everybody, because we're all different. And that's what makes us amazing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah.
And also I think it's when you are at your most ugly. Like, you know how people sort of now you can change your photos on Facebook. Like you can, you know.
Yeah.
Do you do that?
No, I don't actually. I may a little bit of retouching my skin here and there if the light's not so great. I won't lie. But I don't, certainly don't stretch things out or
fix, you know, noses and or whatever.
No, God, no.
Or you know how people go through and say, delete that, and they'll take like a billion selfies before they actually put something up, right?
Yeah.
I think my theory is it's the times in your life when you're having the best fun that you look the ugliest. You know what I mean? Like it really just, you know, like distorted laughter or, you know, when you're crying, it's a moment of really high emotion, but they're real moments,
correct.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, orgasm face, who knows? I've never taken a photo of myself in that instance, but.
Really?
No, never done a sex tape.
Yeah.
No.
I think it's because of the phones and stuff. You can actually like take photos because everyone's got a phone, which is a camera, and you can edit. I remember when I used to party like in the early, late 90s when I started going out, we all used to take those disposable cameras.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
And how good was that? Because we didn't all sit there and like pouting and all that sort of. We just had fun and just took the photos and then cringed the next week when we go and pick up the photos. How bad we looked.
That's right.
That was fun, right? You couldn't edit them.
Yeah.
I like that.
And there's something really kind of human about that. Being really. Just, we are distorted and ugly and crazy and blemished and all of those things.
Yes.
Yeah.
But do we sound old, though, when we say stuff like that? Because it's technology and it's like, you know, we used to complain about, I don't know, our mothers or grandmothers wearing blue eyeshadow or something.
Yes, right.
Do you know what I mean? So I sort of sit in the middle and sort of think, oh, I don't want to sound old, but are we sounding old? Because the kids these days, now I sound old.
Yes.
They're just using what they have and they're just
I do agree with you. I agree with you in that regard. As an example, I mean, dyeing your hair like now is so completely standard.
Yeah.
Whereas I suppose, you know, there was a time when it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. Yeah. Surely. Maybe that's not a good example.
Well, colouring your hair like
long
blue and all that.
Mm.
Tattoos and things like that.
Yeah. Oh, look, as you say, whatever people want to do, that's great. But I just think I would be sad to see ugly disappear. I love ugly.
Well, ugly is good.
Yeah.
Ugly is good. Depends what ugly is.
It's true. Changing shift a little bit, I read another really interesting story that I loved that said that people who read live longer.
What, reading what? I sort of read it. I was like, oh, do I lie? I was thinking, do I lie that I read all the time? But no. Well, I read emails.
Yeah, I don't think that counts.
Does that count?
I think it's about books that make you stop, give you that sort of that stillness that you talk about, I guess.
Yeah.
And expanding your mind and thinking about the world and taking yourself back perhaps somewhere other than your own space.
Right.
Yeah.
I suppose I don't know about that. Like, but for me, I mean, I'm visual, so I always look at
magazine. Like picture books.
I do, but it just, but then also it tells a story though, you know what I mean? It's fashion, I don't know, clothes tells a story, where we're from and all that sort of stuff. And I like that, you know, words are good too, don't get me wrong, but it's just, I don't know, I just don't read novels.
No, well, I don't. Yeah, I'll start reading a novel, but then if I hate it, I'll stop. So most of the time I only read about two chapters and go, this is shit, and I put it down again. I did read a funny quote when Shane Warne was once at one of the launches of one of his books. He's done a few autobiographies, apparently. He said, now I've written more books than I've read.
<That's>
and
<funny.
laughs> he seems to be having quite a good time of it. Yeah. I don't think not reading has affected him in any way. He seems to be getting through life, but who knows if he'll have a long life. I don't know. But you brought a book in.
Yeah.
What have you got there?
It's a book on airlines, actually, and basically about design, culture, and identity. So it just goes through different airlines and what they used to wear. And
it's something extremely kind of, well, you know, that sort of 60s airline uniform, that Pan Am kind of feel. It's very glamorous.
It is.
And very beautiful. It's quite fetishistic, though. Oh, that's your mum calling. Oh, tell me about your mum.
Mum's cool. Mum's really cool. She's, you know, like most mums, works hard and all that sort of stuff. We lived in the Pilbara, Dampier. Mm. So dad was, you know, dad worked. Dad was a miner. So all that stuff in the early 80s. Uh-huh. The early 80s. So, yeah, so mum worked a couple of days and I don't know, she always, there was only two Asian family in the town of Dampier.
Right.
Which is, God.
How strange for you. Was did that affect you growing up to be?
It taught me to be stronger. Yeah, definitely. I think, and mum was really great. Mum was always trying to protect me and stuff like that.
Mm.
You know, it didn't help when I first went to the primary school, everyone had bologna and tomato sauce sandwiches.
Okay.
And I rocked up with rice, curry and an omelette. Like, you know, I would bash myself as well. Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, it's just like.
So, did you then, you were the subject of racism then?
A little bit, yeah, but. I don't know, it was racism back then. It was just like I was a dog coming in with like smelly food. Like, early, you know what I mean? Like, and I couldn't speak English that well either. So,
really?
Yeah, because I grew up a little bit in Bangkok that I moved here. But it was a little bit, but it was, I had such a good like life in the Pilbara.
Yeah.
Dampier is the town Red Dog, the movie.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, so. It's exactly the same, by the way.
Like, wow.
So, yeah, so that was the town that I grew up in, yeah.
And so now, I mean, looking back, it's interesting that you have that sort of sense that racism was of its time then. Like that it didn't seem racist because it was, what, the 80s now.
But
do you think that we have different standards now?
I think we just talk about it more. I don't think it was, I don't know. I never felt that I was teased because I was Asian looking. I think I was teased because I was different, but that wasn't come down to race though. It was just that I wouldn't want to paint those kids that I grew up with
as racist.
Exactly. Kids are just crazy and just
kids
nasty.
Are nasty in
exactly,
general
exactly.
It's true. Okay.
I don't think we thought about, oh my god, he's, you know, this beautiful Asian influenced Thai boy.
You are a beautiful Asian influenced Thai boy.
You know what I mean? I don't think they thought that. We have no, but I think
because you are. Yeah, they were probably deeply joking. Envious.
Oh.
As a look at this boy's skin, it's extraordinary, and those eyes.
Oh, thank you. Do you know, I can remember those two boys' name actually.
Really?
Yeah. But you know what? Do you know what saved me though? I think it was sport.
Oh.
Yeah, because I was really. I was okay at sport. And right. that was my saviour, actually. Yeah,
I think that's the case for a lot of boys.
Totally.
That if you can play sport, even if you're a bit of a dork or you're a bit of a misfit, if you can kick a soccer ball with everybody else.
Yeah, definitely. I was a full forward for Dampier Sharks.
Really?
Yeah.
You played footy.
I did. I really did. I love how you just totally just cracked up about that.
I know, Trey. It's just such a, you are truly a mosaic because, you know, to see, because you are very, is this offensive for me to say that you're a very pretty, delicate kind of man? You know what I mean?
Oh, thank you. I like that. That's a compliment, I think.
I meant it as a compliment. Yeah, no, but definitely. Some men would find that offensive and it would annoy me that they do. So. But you know, you are that and you've got this spiritual side as having been a monk and natty. You were the full forward.
That's funny.
I love it. Yeah. You know, I guess country towns, though, yeah. you know, the footy club is so important to a country
so
town.
So important. Just being active and I think it comes down to my parents. Like they were really... Well, they're just my parents, good or bad. They were just my parents. And they just did what they thought was right at the time. And I think they did okay.
Oh, it seems like they did a very good job. Yeah. So now as an adult, have you witnessed any racism or, you know, because it's spoken a lot about in Australia at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I feel like sometimes I get really, I don't know, I just wish that Australians are a little more broad-minded.
Yeah. I think so. I think because everything is just sort of shoved in our faces and everyone has an opinion and sometimes things just get blown up more so than others, I think.
Okay.
And also I think people love to, I don't know, people just get obsessed with like negativity and they like to listen to that and all the goods and things, I think. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I had this conversation with a friend of mine the other day. I said, oh my God, they went away and... All they complained about was just about how bad it was in Europe. I'm like, are you joking? I'm stuck here in like the coldest it's ever been in Melbourne. And you're coming back and complaining about how bad your cocktails was. And I mean, it's like, wrong crowd, sister, move on. Like, seriously. Like, do you know what I mean?
I agree with you.
Concentrate on how beautiful the sun and environment, all that sort of stuff. But I think we just tend to just talk about all these bad stuff all the time.
People do love to be angry.
They do, right?
Yeah.
They
it's do. Not good for your skin. No, it's not good. Don't you reckon, like, I really believe, these are my philosophies around beauty. Mm. One is that there's nothing more beautiful than a smile.
Yes.
And the other is, if you want to stay young mm-hmm. and looking as good as you possibly can, you need to think beautiful thoughts.
I totally agree with that. And also, people around you, if you're beautiful, like whatever you think that is, and you're really ugly inside, you won't have people around you to be beautiful with and have fun with.
Yeah, true. Know? Also, don't you think that ugly people, they can be genetically stunning, but there's a tinge of kind of ugly about them?
Yeah.
You know, people who are unpleasant on the inside, I feel like it kind of shows in your face.
Yeah, definitely, because there's stress. Because, you know, when you're rude, you know that you're rude. It's just like, I don't know. I've seen a lot of that in my work, I suppose. But it's sort of now as you when I first started, but now as you progress, you sort of surround yourself with people who you want to be around.
Yes.
I'm sure you're the same.
Oh, no. Well, as much as I can. Yeah. Sometimes you don't get a choice. But no, definitely at the moment I'm working with everybody that I want to work with. And, you know, why would you tolerate anything other than that?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose, as you say, when you're starting out, you might not have the choice. But so, you know, that means I'm sure that you will take my call when I ask you to work on my face, Trey, because you're
like, yes. Anytime. You know, you have all my digits.
I do, darling.
You do.
I've kept your
Twitter,
digits.
Facebook, everything.
I do. Thank you so much for chatting with me. What do you say as a Buddhist monk? Is it
Kokunka.
Kokunka.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I have said in the past when I've been in Thailand for my when they've brought me a cocktail. So Kokunka. <Coffee cup. laughs> Thanks, Trey.
Thank you. Thank you.